This episode is brought to you by Delta Airlines. I recently flew Delta, I want to say about a week ago now, and I was coming back home from being in Atlanta for a speaking engagement, and Delta just gave me such a wonderful experience. And it really was the icing on the cake of just such an amazing weekend that I had. Some of the things that I loved particularly about my Delta airline experience was, first, the amazing customer service. Everyone there was so kind, so welcoming, so present, so attentive. And a small thing but was big to me was just something simple as having headphones so that I can enjoy more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. I mean, my flight wasn't that long, but I got to catch up on a movie, some shows, just things I don't have time to do usually at home. I was able to enjoy that in the air. Delta also offers fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi, and it's available for SkyMiles members. Being able to access the Wi-Fi, I was able to order some groceries and just get a head start on my week. It was a great end to my experience and ushered me right back in to being home. So even if you're not home yet, Delta Airlines helps you feel a little bit like it. Delta Airlines believes that you should feel at home, even if you're 30,000 feet above it. Learn more at delta.com. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Listen, over the last weekend, I went to a family reunion, and unfortunately, that fell on that particular time of the month that all of the women know what I'm talking about. So I had an attitude. I wanted to eat everything, and I was in the South, which means I wanted to eat everything that was terrible for me. And overall, I just wasn't feeling it. I had a great time, just wasn't feeling like myself. Now it's easier to manage PMS with estro control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the show code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today.
Just think, the McRib you get today could be your last McRib ever. What do? Write about it? Meme about it? Or do you simply enjoy every saucy, tangy bite? Decide during the McRib Farewell Tour. Now at McDonald's. Order ahead on the app.
At participating McDonald's app download and registration required.
This episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast is brought to you by God is My CEO, a prayer journal for entrepreneurs. I am so excited about this journal because it is the first ever prayer journal specifically for entrepreneurs. God gave me this idea a little over a month ago for me to create this journal for business owners. And I am just amazed with the response that it's gotten thus far, the people who've been able to pre-order it and download the virtual digital version and get started with growing that relationship with God and allowing God to be the CEO of their business. This journal is amazing because it has a space for you to surrender your business to God. It has a space for you to write down your million-dollar ideas that God is going to give you as you grow in your relationship with Him. It has a place for you to write down your answered prayers so that you can constantly be reminded that if He did it once, He'll do it again. There's a section called I Feel But I Know. And in that section, it allows you to navigate the difficult feelings and sometimes just the very personal feelings of being an entrepreneur and relate that to what the scripture says so that you can be encouraged in those not so sexy parts of entrepreneurship. There's also a section for sermon notes. So if you guys are like me and you watch a lot of sermons online, or if you just attend church, there's a section for you to take notes in there as well. And then, of course, there are the journaling pages. So there's a
morning and evening section for you to journal and spend time with God every single day. So I'm so excited about this journal. I've been getting such amazing responses from everyone who's pre-ordered already and been able to utilize the digital version. So make sure you go to www.blessedandbossedup.com so that you can pre-order yours today. Let's start the show.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am super excited about today's episode because I am here with Chris Daniel. As you guys, you might remember a few episodes ago, I went to Charlotte for an event called Take Control, and it was an entrepreneurs event. It was put on by Eric Thomas's organization, ETA. And while I'm a huge fan of Eric Thomas, I was a lot more interested in the other people that were going to be there because even though he may be the face, like there's a lot of background people that we may not see that just contributes to the machine. So I was just more so interested in like the other people who make the brand and the person so excellent. And of course, one of those people was Chris Daniel. And so you talked a lot about the animal assessment that you came up with. And I was so excited about it. It's funny because when I was there, you kind of briefly went over each animal.
Yep.
And I couldn't really figure out which one I fit into.
Yep.
So I identified with the turtle because the turtle is efficient.
Yeah.
But then we kept talking about slow. I'm like, well, I'm not slow either. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to pick one for the sake of this. But I'm going to take it so that I can see.
Yep.
And so as soon as we left, I literally just like, I ain't stopped to talk, network, none of that. I like ran up to my room and I was like, I need to get this because I have to figure this out. And so I realized that I was a gorilla. So that was interesting.
Yep.
And something that you said that really stuck out to me there was, you can't change who you are. And so that was big for me because a lot of times because I have all of these qualities that other people may not identify with, I always felt like I had to adjust or change certain things.
Yes.
And it would just be like an internal battle in a way. And so when you said that, it kind of freed me from that. But then it also made me excited to go take the assessment to kind of analyze who I am and what that means for other people.
Absolutely.
So we're going to get into that a little bit later. But in your talk or your session before you got into the animal assessment, you really told your story.
Yeah.
And a part of a theme of your story was change the way that you or change the story you tell yourself.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really major. So I want you to start by just telling us your story.
Yeah. So I always tell people I like to represent, you know, the kids from rural areas who make it, but who make it in a whole different kind of way. Right. So I'm from Thomaston, Georgia. Most people have never heard of Thomaston. It's probably about 8,000-9,000 people total. Mm-hmm. No mall, just a super Walmart.
Oh, wow.
So it's
country
one of those kind of. Yeah, it's one of those. It's about an hour south of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised. Great background to be from. Huge family. My grandparents had 11 kids. So,
oh, wow. That's awesome.
Huge family. My nuclear family, just my mom and then I'm the oldest and I got two younger sisters. So pretty small nuclear family, but grew up single mom. I saw my mom struggle, always had 2-3 jobs just to provide. And I took a lot of that. And literally before I knew it, I had taken a lot of that on. So I just in college, I had 2 jobs. And when I graduated and moved, I was making decent money with the government. But then I had another job. And I'm like, I just found myself taking a lot of those things on, which isn't a bad thing. But I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And so when we get to the assessment, that's where a lot of that came from, like really figuring out what authenticity meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I realized, oh, this is a whole different, like, I know a lot of people who don't know that about themselves.
Yeah.
Because I hear them and I see them doing stuff that they really don't like to do. So that's kind of the basis. But yeah, humble beginnings. We definitely weren't rich by far. I was the first in my family to go to college. Went to Georgia Southern. My girlfriend got pregnant in high school. So at 17, like babies here.
Yeah.
Made the decision to still go to college. And that was hard in itself because that meant leaving to go 3 hours away to go to school and coming back home every other weekend and trying to help out or be some semblance of dad. Graduated college. I was on the 4.5 year plan. and literally, so after freshman year, I was the kid that said college ain't for me. Now, this is coming from A's and B's all through school.
Yeah.
1 year of college, like I ain't going back.
Why?
Couple of things happened that freshman year. I got checked. Like,
okay, what's that mean?
Got my first D in that history class. And it was like, yeah, you ain't. Yeah, you better come to class and do your work or else like...
Thought you was too smart.
Thought I was too smart. And so literally, like I got cool. And I just literally went going and I got that first D and I was like, eh. And then I got a C and I was like, okay. All right, so I'm done with college. So I went home for the summer and I worked at the mill and I was driving a forklift. And them
that's
little $400 or $500 a week, they were looking real good. Oh yeah. I like when I say I'm from Red Dirt, like no question about it. And I was driving a forklift, man, and I was working with dudes who went to school with my parents, like my dad and my mom, who they knew them. They were like, man, what are you doing here? Like, you're too smart to be. And I'm like, ah, I'm gonna just drive my box Chevy and I'm gonna buy me a little crib and I'm good, right? And I sat out for one semester. It was winter semester 97. And my birthday is New Year's Day. So about a month before my birthday, my mom came to me and she said, so here's the deal. Yeah, just open the door. She said, here's the deal. It can't be two grown people in this house. Okay. So I ain't saying you got to go back to school, but you just got to find a place to stay because you can't. That ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
And every time I talked to my boys, it was like they were having the best time in school. So I literally, man, turned my FAFSA in late, but they found a space for me. So I went back, didn't have nowhere to live or anything, but I went back that January. And this is where I hooked up with, I still call him my brother to the day. His brother was, he got locked up on some petty stuff and a room opened up. So I lived with him and that's, I went back to school and I graduated 4 years later.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that was the first hurdle. So graduated 4 years later and here's the funny thing. So I didn't meet my dad till I was like 13 and he came to my college graduation and I'm sitting there with this epiphany, like, okay, so get this straight. So I don't really know you, but you pop, didn't tell me you were coming, but you pop up. And it's cool, it's whatever.
Like,
but now
the NBA draft.
You know, right. and it's this situation where I had been interviewing before I graduated. I had already been offered a job in DC. Chicago was kind of on the fence with bringing me to a company in Chicago. And I kind of wanted to stay around Atlanta because that's where my base was. But I interviewed in Atlanta and they talk about $38,000. I'm like, dude, I ain't go to college for $38,000.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
So I moved here in 2001, and I've been here ever since.
That's awesome.
Worked for the government almost 10 years. And what's funny is the last half of government, my government career, my job, I was a director of training. So my job was to hire consultants, right? And I would just watch their swag. Like, yo, like they come in like real sweet with the Jaguar and the suit. And they work for an hour or two.
And go right back home.
And go right back home after they get a nice dinner at the wharf, right? But I'm signing a check that says $16,000. I'm like, for 2 hours, though? It only took me a couple times to realize I was on the wrong side of the table.
Right.
But I think when we talk about authenticity, like, I really enjoyed doing what they did more so than anything. So I put the money to the side and asked myself, like, could I do that? And not to pull the race card, but none of the consultants look like me that we hired. So again, I'm observing, like, okay, whatever it took him to get there, I want to know how he became a consultant. How did he get a job with Deloitte or PwC or whoever they were working for? And why aren't there more people that look like me? That's the real question. And so 2010, I left government, $115,000 a year. I walked away from it because I knew what we were paying them. And I'm like, if I can even make half of what we pay them, I'll be straight. And so that's what I did, man. Of course, got married in 2006, bought a couple of homes, did all the stuff everybody do, bought some cars, and it all fell apart. Went through a divorce 5 years ago now, almost 5 years ago, and then lost a son in the middle of that. So,
Wow.
All, homeless, all of that, just,
So, but don't gloss over that, because a lot of people, they go through things. Like, our stories may be different, but we all go through things. So, what were those moments like? You just left this six-figure position, and then life happens when you thinking that life is about to take off.
It's about to take off, right? And so, you know, I didn't leave haphazardly. Of course, my then wife, I had a long conversation for months about it.
Right.
Planned it out. This is what I'm going to do. I started the business before I left government.
Okay.
I left government with an offer from a consulting firm. So that's why I left.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
So I knew I wasn't going cold turkey. It was like, all right, I got a little cushion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get this leave check. They're going to cut me for $300 of leave. So that'll be some spending money. Mm-hmm. And then I'll, you know, within 2 or 3 weeks or a month, I'll have a check from them that'll keep it going until I figure out how to completely fly solo.
Right.
And so that happened in 2010. And then, man, like you said, like the bottom fell out. Like I went, worked for them for about 6 months. And the CEO came to me and she said, I've seen your type. And I was like, huh? She's like, yeah, you won't be with us long. I'm like, what I do now? I just started. And she's like, no. It's a good thing. Like, you have this entrepreneurial thing and we want to help you foster it.
Wow.
So what can we do? So at that time, I said, well, y'all got these assessments over here that I really like. Like, can you train me really how to do it? So that's where I really got my first training with that DISC assessment stuff. Mm-hmm. But it still wasn't sexy at the time. It was just like, okay, these DISC assessments, like, whatever. Yeah. Everybody got a DISC assessment, right? And so I sat on it for 2 years. I didn't even touch it. And, you know, the first formative years of my business, I was trying to get every little contract around just to bring money in. And my wife got pregnant. So now we got to, that little $1,500 a month on that little one contract, it ain't enough. So I took a job with a firm in Annapolis. They had contracted me out to do some stuff at Morgan State. Now, meanwhile,
I went to Morgan. Yeah, shout out to Morgan.
Shout out to Morgan. beautiful things they're doing with the campus up there.
Oh, yeah.
I know the president, his whole cabinet, they my people. So went up there. And the very first time I did the animals, I did it with Morgan State.
Okay.
That was probably 2012, maybe.
I was a student at that time.
Okay. So I'm a consultant on campus while you're a student.
That's funny.
And so we kind of, so the firm was a white-owned firm who had just won a $200,000 contract at a black university.
So they had to send a black guy.
So
they had to.
I'm the token dude.
For the culture. They had to send a black guy.
So I go and smash it. Like, it turned into a 1 month, turned into a 3 month, turned into a 6 month contract at Morgan. Morgan went so well that the firm offered me a paid position.
Wow.
Now, here's where I am. Got a 1 year old. I was living in Waldorf. Doing that commute to Baltimore three times a week. Okay.
It's a good 2 hours.
Money was sweet. $6,000 a month. More than I was making on my own. Okay. On this little contract. It was only 3 days a week. Still had 2 days to build my business and my brand.
Yeah.
Still had one or two clients outside of Morgan. So life was decent. My wife still didn't know kind of what, like, what do you do all day? And I'm like, this is all the stuff. She's like, yeah, that don't look like work.
Right.
Because she worked in the government at the time.
Gotcha.
Okay. So now I'm in this place where they put $75,000 on the table. The wife then saying, take the money. I'm
as
like,
as a job.
As a job, full time employee.
Okay.
With travel. Like, travel's not optional. You have to travel. With a 1 year old. With this fledgling business over here. All right. So me, like any red-blooded man, I took the job. I took the money. But I knew, honestly, when I took the money, my marriage was going to be done. I knew when I signed it, it was a wrap.
How did you know that?
Because you tell me what woman wants to be 3 weeks a month alone with a one-year-old and you're married.
Yeah.
I knew when I signed it, like, okay. This ain't my last one. And literally 6 months after that, we separated.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, then what made you do it then? Like, were you at a crossroad of it's between my marriage
and
a job? Like,
that's a good question.
If you knew that already, why?
So, you know, as a husband, you do what's best for the family, right? So what's best is a consistent paycheck, right? Knowing that internally it was going to be that it's going to eat away at me and eat away at me and eat away until I figure out how to replace that income. Mm-hmm. So I went into it like, okay, I'm going to do it for six. I'm going to figure it out. Like the money going to be good and I'm going to still do my little stuff on the weekend over here until I can make the money difference. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And then I came home from Miami on a business trip and it was like, yeah, I can't do this no more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you said,
but still, though, you can't say that it's to help the family. If you knew the family was going to be broken up by that, how does that help the family?
So what do? Do you say, I ain't going to take it? That's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
And again, so as the provider, you provide.
Yeah.
And yeah, just it literally 6 months later, like May, June, like it was a wrap.
Wow.
So we separated. So now I move out. And God is good because in the middle of it, so I'm doing all this traveling, right? And I'm racking up hotel points. So I'm homeless, but I'm using the points to stay in hotels.
Wow.
So now I'm paying mortgage here. I'm paying rent at a hotel. Mm-hmm. So that's my entire check.
Yeah.
And I'm staying on points. So essentially, I'm homeless, staying on points, really eating when I travel on my per diem. Right? On that good per diem. Trying to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, God, I did what you said. I did what you told me to do. Like,
did you seek God in any of those moments?
Man, let me tell you something. Before I left government, I would literally close my door in my office and pray, like, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you don't want me. The money is fine, but I'm past that. Like, show me where you want me to be. Then, boom, my phone ring the consulting firm. Mm-hmm. Right? Then I'm in my home office in the third bedroom. Like, okay, God, like, what you said, I ain't supposed to be broke. You told me to do this. Like, come on.
Yeah,
And he would send provision would come. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I worked with some amazing small companies that fueled my home and my business. I've had some decent contracts that took care of stuff. I always tell people, yeah, I was broke, but I bought and paid for my first car when I was going through all this.
Right.
Right. So provision was always made. But then you got to look at yourself and like, OK, how am I contributing to this foolishness? Like, for real. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter and real raw talk is, yo, I was about to get divorced. Mm-hmm. Like I was going through like you left this stupid money, this corner office, this staff of 22 people. And I left on great terms. At any point, I probably could have called and got my job back. Mm-hmm. And every time I tried, he blocked it. I kid you. Like I picked up the phone like, yo, DaVita.
Yeah.
I know y'all ain't filled that position yet because I see it on the website. Like, what's up? And every time he would drop another contract or people would see me and they'd be like, yo, you need to come back. Like, it's jacked up without you. And then I'd be like, OK, here's my updated resume. Like, make it happen. And then something else, the government going to furlough. I'm like,
right.
OK. You know what I'm saying? So but through all that, like, so I turned to writing. So I wrote my first book and all of that. Consulting jeans, man. And I was staying an extended stay. I kid you not. And I got that call about 5:30 one Wednesday afternoon from a publishing company saying, we got it. Our executive team loves it. We want to offer you a publishing deal. So it was always these little, when you get to that point, like, okay, I'm going to give you just a little bit more to keep going kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And man, I'll never forget. That's not the book bag, but I still had a book bag. If you've ever been at extended stay, you know, in the morning they give you these little snacks, right? So you got these little granola bars and little stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I would pack my bag full because I didn't know where I was going to eat later. Mm-hmm. And man, mind you, with a 2-year-old and all of this, right? So I still got to pick him up a few times a week, give his mom a break. Like we went through counseling and tried to make it work, but it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. I respect her. I thank her for being a good mom. I get it. Like I probably push the limits.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is not for the weak stomach people, man. Because outside of business stuff, you still got to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
And I tell anybody, wherever you lay your head at night, you just want to be peaceful. And it wasn't peaceful for either of us. So, yeah, that's the so that's the context of it. Now, mind you, let me give you some perspective. All this is going on. Mind you, my girlfriend is pregnant at 17. So,
yeah,
other son in Georgia who came up every summer getting ready to graduate high school. So now I'm at this point where I'm like, OK, I'm 34, 35 years old. OK. Great relationship. We talked all the time. I went down there all the time. He came up here all the time. Great relationship. He's graduating high school, did the college tour around here. And I don't know if I want to go to college. What do you mean? You're a black man. You going to college? Well, I don't know if it's for me. Good kid. Never had any issues. All right. You got a year. All right, you stay with your mom 6 months. If you can't figure it out, you move with me, and we're going to get you right. Either you're going to work or you're going to, like, whatever. So I had it mapped out. He's going to be my little junior project manager. He's my deliveries. Right. You know,
you got his job ready.
Out, right? Yeah. Plus, I had a couple of buddies up here that gave him jobs when he came during the summer. Barbershop, shoe shop. I'm like, oh, he'll be fine. And he ended up joining the military on his own. No push from me or mom, just... That's what he wanted to do. Super proud of him. He went through. He graduated. He got in. He did all his thing. He was stationed in Denver, near Colorado Springs. And he was set to be deployed that February 2015. So I flew down to Atlanta before he flew out. We chopped it up at the Waffle House. And he literally was heading to the airport when I got there. And he went over to Camp Buring. And he was over there for a while, and we talked in May of 2015. I'll never forget. Last conversation we had, NBA Finals. He's like, Dad, I got Golden State. No, what he said, I got Golden State in six. And I was like, yeah, I got Cleveland in seven. So that was the last conversation we had. Golden State won in six, though. But I never talked to him again. 3 days after that conversation, I got a knock at the door. Now, so you look out the peephole. So... I skipped that. I had finally got on my feet financially. I had my own apartment now. I was living in Crofton. Had picked my son Jackson up. He was three at the time. It's a Friday. I just got home, getting the bath, water ran for Jackson, getting the knock at the door. And I'm sorry, this is the extended version of the story.
No, it's fine.
It's stuff you can't tell in an hour.
Yeah, right.
But no, so get the knock at the door. I look at the people. I see two military officers. And I'm like, oh, they're recruiting. They got the wrong apartment. That's the first thought. So they knock again. I open the door and they ask, are you Christopher Daniel? I say, yeah. And they said, maybe come in. I'm like, what's this matter about? And they're like, do you know Montarius Daniel? And I said, yeah. He said, maybe we come in. And I was like, what's this about? And when he took his hat off,
wow.
I was like, okay, what happened? Because I just talked to him 2 days ago. So is he hurt? Is he okay? So, you know, when they say we regret to inform.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't even remember what he said after that.
Yeah.
So, mind you, a three-year-old, daddy, you okay? Two military officers standing in my apartment saying, is there anybody you can call? Is there anything we can do? I'm just getting back on my feet.
Yeah.
And boom, that blow happened. A year before that, divorce was final. So it was all of that. And literally in that moment, I just had a decision to make. Like, okay, I think everybody, and I say this at the conference, I think everybody would have been okay if I just would have checked out.
Yeah.
With everything that happened, I think everybody would have understood that, okay, look, dude, you got a lot, like, it's okay. And I did check out for a few months.
Yeah, you gotta grieve.
But about a week after that visit, I had just re-signed the contract with that consulting firm I was with to actually go from employee to consultant. So again, it was all coming together. So it was all coming together, man. And, you know, what do you do? It's like,
yeah,
I can't take no more. Like, Like,
like, God, what's up?
What,
like,
you, for real. Yeah. It really was that. Like, uh-huh. What's like, man, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had people, you know, friends who just kind of came through and checked on me. You know, it was one of them no shave and no shower for days on end, kind of mm-hmm. like trying to figure life out at that point. Mm-hmm. What in the world? And the consulting firm didn't answer my calls anymore. Now, I had called all my clients and told them what happened, mm-hmm. told them I needed a month or so and I'll be back. And when I reached back out and told them I was ready to come off the bench, okay, we'll call you back when we got something for you. Like, wow. Really?
Mm.
That was strike one.
Mm-hmm.
So then my sister was also sick at the time, so I'm trying to deal with that. Still got daddy responsibilities. Still got this interesting relationship with my ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
Got eviction notices because now how I'm going to pay. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all of that. And in the middle of all that, man, out of the blue, like I didn't call them, I didn't email them. Brand new client said, hey, we heard you do P&P training. We got 14 people. Would you do it for $20,000? It was always a nut. It was always this, okay, I'm going to give you a little more to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So my son died June 2015. My mom stayed until July 3rd. I probably went off the grid to about August,
mm-hmm.
and then about mid-August, that's when that email came.
Wow.
I was on my last, like, I didn't know how I was going to pay, and mm-hmm. boom, that came. Mm-hmm. And not only did they say, would you be willing to do it, we'll pay up front.
Wow.
So that's when I was like, okay, like, you got this P&P, you need to make this your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took it and ran with it from there.
Wow.
So that's really kind of how.
So I have like so many questions.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to before your son passed, when you were just constantly, like you said, that you bought a car free and clear during that time. Like you were making all these things happen despite what was going on there.
Yeah.
How? Like, what was that day to day? Like, what sacrifices did you have to make?
Day to day was just crazy. So, so I've always been a hard worker. Like I said, I always took that multiple jobs kind of thing from my mom. Right. So like I was probably working 16, 17 hour days, sleeping 3 or 4 hours, trying to figure out how can I get business? How can I make some money? How can I boom, boom, boom?
Mm-hmm.
The day to day would be up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, pray, meditate, start at 5 grinding, work until noon. Figure out how I'm going to eat something, mm-hmm. 1 o'clock, go back, work until 6, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my faith always led me, definitely stayed, prayed up, stayed in church, stayed with an accountability partner,
mm-hmm.
Bible study. I led a Bible study series during that time. like literally, it just was, I had no idea how it was going to come.
Right.
But I just knew I would do everything I knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of that is when I kind of met E.T.,
okay.
I was consulting on a contract out in San Francisco, and they were out there on the same week I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably had $400 to my name, and the conference was like $300, $350,
mm-hmm.
and I sacrificed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid it, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, right.
Whatever bill don't get paid, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I sacrificed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the second conference. I saw them the first time here in D.C., and I saw him, and literally, like, you know, CJ said something to me then that I still remember to this day. He's like, yo, dude, I see you at these conferences. Like, you got a presence. And it took me back to when I was an undergrad, and I took my first and only public speaking class.
Mm-hmm.
And my professor said the same thing. Chris, you got stage presence. I need to teach you how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw myself as a motivational speaker or speaker at all.
Right.
But I knew I had some information,
mm-hmm.
and I knew I had a way of delivering it that people just responded to.
Right.
So I really just took that. That was the sacrifice. It was during the days I was on a contract or an employee, I would always get up 4 or 5. I would work my stuff before I worked their stuff,
right,
and then work my stuff after I worked their stuff. Mm-hmm. I would do training on the weekends and professional development sessions on the weekends for companies, put myself out there, create my little one sheet, send it to them, mm-hmm. follow up with the email. Like, I would do all that stuff because I always knew, like, this would come.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how. I didn't see this space anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I just knew. I was like, I'm supposed to work like a consultant. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I really like. So, you know, that was the day to day, man. It didn't make sense for a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people were like, what in the world does Chris do?
Mm-hmm.
But those were, I know when I hear, especially like rich people say, oh man, you're going to miss the grind days when you ain't had no money. Like, I know what they mean, like, uh-huh. because I do. I ain't rich yet,
mm-hmm.
but I do miss those extended stay days.
Yeah. You almost feel like you got to be doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah.
So a lot of people, was that discipline something that came natural to you? Because a lot of people, that's where they get caught up. It's like, I'm so tired.
Yeah. Let me just go get a job, right?
Yeah. All of these excuses come up. They don't have the discipline to be like, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to work on my stuff. Is that something that you already had or you had to develop?
Had to develop it. First, I saw my grandparents with it, right? So imagine my grandma, 11 kids. Like, you can't work with 11 kids.
Right.
Sorry, you get your no job. Right. Go deal with that.
That is your job.
You know, so my grandma, she drove buses for schools for a little bit. And then she cooked in the schools for a little bit. But eventually she just came home.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather is the G, though, mm-hmm. was the G. Both of them have passed on since then. But so my grandfather was a carpenter.
OK, that's an old school job for real.
Who supported 11 kids and a wife.
Wow.
Like, so the only other carpenter I know that did it that big was Jesus.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like, flat out, right? Like, so, but no, like, this dude, when I think about him to this day, you know, my grandfather might be 5'1",
mm-hmm.
light skin, would go to, and at the time it was wealthy white people's homes.
Yeah.
Lay hardwood, tile, cement
mm-hmm.
for cash. Like, no checks. Like,
yeah.
But I think it was because he didn't have a good concept of money.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he would take this wad of cash to my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would manage the finances. And so I look at it like, man, like, that's where I first saw entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
He'd work on his little work van until it would work, till he could go do another job. And he literally contracted himself out all around Thomaston. So that's where I saw it first.
Yeah.
And then my mom, again, she worked the full time, but she also had her side gigs going. And then, you know, I look at it like, how in the world, where I asked myself, like, where do you get this from? Like, what? No sane person.
Right.
Like, you walked away on good terms from a GS 14 step 3.
Mm-hmm. For the people that don't know what that means.
For the people who don't know what that means, 115 grand a year.
Mm-hmm.
And at 31 years old in 2010. Okay.
Everybody else would have been living the life right about now. Okay?
And the funny thing was, like, I had the car,
they wouldn't have gone nowhere, right?
Most people, but I kept feeling this pull, like, no, mm-hmm. it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just thankful that I was obedient enough to listen, because my normal self wouldn't have did it.
Right.
But yeah, that's what the day-to-day, that's what the grind looked like.
So let's talk about your faith for a second, because even as I listen to your story, all I keep thinking is, like, God had his hand all over this whole situation.
I can't take no credit.
Like, the whole thing.
None.
But how did you develop that relationship with God to be able to be obedient and trust? Because a lot of people, that's where they struggle, is they don't have that trust that God is going to provide for them, that they're going to be able to get these contracts in the midst of these things, that they're going to be able to pay up front. Like, this is stuff that people don't have the faith to think can happen.
Right.
How did you build that?
So God is such a gentleman.
I like that.
He's not going to force you to do anything.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He's just going to let you back yourself in the corner and then be like, yeah, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever you want to use that calling card, I'm still here. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I remember in the Bible study session I led, my aha was, you sent a helper that I ain't never used that's sitting right beside me. Mm-hmm. Like, you never had to be broke. but you never talk to your boy who I sent right beside you.
Mm.
So that's really where it came. It came from, Chris, I don't know how you going to go to Georgia and bury your son because you ain't got the strength to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you're going to drive to Dover, Delaware and identify the body off the plane.
Mm.
I don't know how you're going to get up in front of people and train after all that happened. I don't know how you going to, like, it just was like, okay, mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but show me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's literally,
mm-hmm.
I can't sit up here and say, like, I had it figured out because I didn't.
Right.
It was several days of, like, and I mean, oh, man, I wish I could show you, like, on a movie, how many days I worked in the back of Panera until they would kick me out.
Mm-hmm.
Or close and be like, sir, you got to go. Like, I'm sorry, but we got to go home.
Yeah.
Oh, man, how many? Man, I've probably been to every library around here on free Wi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about just figuring it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a strategy. I just know that mm-hmm. it was like, I told a good friend of mine, this was probably 5-6 years ago. And it's so funny today to think about it. I said, I feel like I'm going to run into Eric Thomas in the airport or something. Like, I just feel like I was consulting in airports. As much as he travel, as much as I'm in airports, I feel like I'm going to see him walking down the hall and I'm going to do like everybody else doing and say, man, you changed my life. I'm going to do one of these, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's so funny to think today, like I speak with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to think about me saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, through all of that, I think I'm grateful most. Through all of that, because it made me figure out who I was.
Right.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the King in You song. Like, I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so unfortunate that it took all that. Man, we hard headed sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we learn by losing.
Yeah.
And when you lose big, you learn big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn. OK, no more settling.
Mm-hmm.
No more playing with this. Like, no more living small. Like, all out. So that's kind of what it was.
And I think you said that you didn't know what the strategy is, but when you talked about the day to day, you talked about how you pray when you wake up.
No question.
You pray and spend time. Like, that is the strategy.
That is the strategy.
That's the strategy.
For real.
Right there.
As simple as it may seem, yep. That's the strategy, right?
That's the strategy. And that's kind of where this whole God is my CEO thing comes from. This message that I've been assigned to push is just that when you literally just spend time with God and let him order your steps, like, he ordered your steps right into the airport to run across somebody
you know
and help
saying?
Change your life. You know, he walks
crazy.
You right into the situations that you need to be in. To but
yeah,
and even you know the Bible says that when we're weak God is made strong, so that I think your life is just a testament to those things. And for the people that's listening, that's the strategy. Like spend time
really
with God
is.
Pray and just make it happen.
Okay, as twisted as this sounds, like through those 2012 through 2017 years, those mm-hmm. that five-year period where it was like valley period, right?
Yeah.
Man, I had some of the best like client experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like a client paid me to fly to Alaska to facilitate a conference. Like I went to Anchorage and spoke at a conference.
Wow.
All on them.
Wow.
Like 100%. Now, here's the funny thing. I can say this now. I took leave from the job.
Yeah.
Because I was... sick
right.
to fly to Anchorage, Alaska
uh-huh.
to facilitate a conference for 4 days, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm talking about amazing experiences. And I look back like, man, how in the world?
Mm-hmm.
First time I spoke at an ETA conference, I told you, man, $200, $187 to be exact to my name.
Mm-hmm.
But I had Marriott points and I had Sky Miles. I was like, okay, I'll figure out the food. I ain't worried about that. But like, and it was always like, okay, well, whatever you got, like, just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And a way will be made. And that's all I knew.
Yeah. That's awesome. So let's transition back to the business part.
Yep.
So when you made that decision, like, okay, I'm going to switch sides of this table.
Yep.
What were the steps that you took? And then... I guess once you were, because you were doing it while you were still at the job.
Yeah.
So what were the steps that you took and when did you realize, okay, now it's time to transition from side hustling to making this my full-time thing?
Yeah. So I was doing it at the job very, very little though. Because again, you work 40 hours, you ain't got a lot of time
mm-hmm.
to do anything. So I think the very first step was I did it backwards. I just created a little one sheet and started sending it. That was what I did. I did it wrong. Mm-hmm. Now I know better. Create the brand first while you got a paycheck then transition, right? But the first thing I did was marketing myself. I was blessed to learn about corporate training centers at community colleges. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know about those. They are looking for people of my caliber. Mm-hmm. So I found one that was like, yeah, we'll bet on you. Like, you got some credentials that we like. Our guy's about to retire. We'll pay you $200 a day. Okay. So on your very first contract, I don't care how much it is, you got a contract.
Right.
So that literally, that's what I did, was the first thing. And then I just worked it. Like, I would do every single professional development course they had, from a 2 hour to a 4 hour to a full day. Intro to customer service, intro to strategic planning, intro to project management, working with teams, new supervisors, core, anything they had. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I had experience in it or not. I would just go read about it.
Yeah, go Google it and stuff.
Because I knew I could facilitate.
Right.
So probably did that for about 2 years as an adjunct instructor at a college. Mm-hmm. Had success with them. They referred me to another one, Anne Arundel Community College. Mm-hmm. Their corporate training group, still one of my clients to this day. They had bigger, better clients, and they paid more. So for the first 2 years of my business, I juggled between them, in between trying to find clients. Mm-hmm. So one day I may be in Waldorf or Hughesville or something, Mechanicsville. I might be up in Annapolis or Baltimore the next day. That just was my, that's how it worked. Mm-hmm. And then I had a client who was in one of the courses that I taught who worked for Charles County government. And she asked that question that all consultants want to know. Do you do any work outside of them? Mm-hmm. Actually, I do. Right. And so that is kind of how it started to multiply.
So it was the referrals that really got you.
It's still word of mouth.
Yeah.
It is still. I always say, so when we talk about business, I still don't do a whole lot of marketing. Mm-hmm. But when people see me do the animals, like I can mm-hmm. put money on it that somebody gonna be like, hey, we got a team over here, can you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's still word of mouth. People gotta see it. And when they see me facilitate, it's almost guaranteed that somebody gonna reach out.
And the animal assessment then became your unique selling proposition then, in a sense, because nobody was really doing that.
So my mainstays. And when I say mainstays, the things that, number one, I enjoyed, number two, paid the most, mm-hmm. were project management certification, mm-hmm. and facilitating the Four Animals course.
Got it.
So the Four Animals was birthed because I said I got certified in DIS way back, mm-hmm. but it was kind of boring.
What is that for the people that don't know?
Yeah, so DISC, D-I-S-C, DISC is a super invasive self-assessment, right? So it's mm-hmm. just like one of these personality assessments. Mm-hmm. And you can get some that are free or cheap that won't give you what you really need to know.
Right.
But I found one, and I had looked at all of them. I had facilitated almost all of them. I found one that gave you not only your natural self, but who you are when you adapt. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but it gives you your natural strengths, your communication styles, and all this other stuff. I'm like, all in one? Like, that's solid.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me try it out on some people first. And I saw the response and I was like, okay, I got something. Mm-hmm. So then I was under that contract and they said, hey, why don't you do the animals thing in Miami? Well, it was this then. Mm-hmm. But we want you to do this. You're this certified. So I went to Miami, did it. It was just okay. But it was just okay because it was a language barrier.
Right.
Right. So right. 80% Cuban Latino. Mm-hmm. DISC, decisive, interactive, stability, and conscientiousness, those don't necessarily translate into Spanish well. Mm-hmm. So I had to come up with something that they would translate to. And everybody knows animals. Mm-hmm. So I came up with a gorilla. And I say, me and another consultant, gorilla for the D, flamingo for the I, chameleon for the S, turtle for the C. So first time I went to Miami, it fell on flat. Second time I went and did it with the animals, they were like, yo, I've never seen anything like it. I'm like, mm-hmm. I just did it last month. Mm-hmm. And they like, no. The animals don't like, yeah.
Yeah.
Tatum, I kid you not. I did it in Miami probably 7 months straight.
Wow.
Miami called Newark.
That's not a bad place to do that
at
either.
All. Especially in January when it's cold as I don't know what here. Miami called Newark. Mm-hmm. Newark called LaGuardia. LaGuardia called Chicago. Chicago called San Francisco. Again, word of mouth.
Yeah.
So I traveled all over the country.
And when you got something that's unique, that unique selling proposition again, and then it's excellent, like it just travels like that. And I think that's a message for everybody that's listening as you're building businesses. Make sure that you have that unique selling proposition, but also make sure you do a really good job when you're there.
I didn't realize it then, like that was all practice, mm-hmm. right? So now when I do it, getting the reps in. Because so now I do it, my eyes closed, mm-hmm. but it's like, yeah, I did it for 5 or 6 years before y'all even saw it.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's it. So now I've turned it into a certification program. Mm-hmm. I'm training some people on how to do it the right way.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it's just growing now. Yep.
So tell us about the animals.
Yep. So the animals. So the animals is a course that I've really developed out. It's a 3-part process. So first is the assessment. So you go online for animalsassessment.com. You take this assessment, right? Mm-hmm. In 10 minutes or less, you'll get an email with your results. It's a 22-page document that really feels like I've been looking in your life for your whole life. Mm-hmm. It's super invasive. Mm-hmm. It's going to validate some things, but it's also going to tell you that stuff you've been hiding. Right. Mm-hmm. And now it's a secure document. Nobody sees it but you and me. Mm-hmm. And now I've automated it to the point where the part 2B is you get this on-demand consultation. Where I walk you through how to dissect the assessment, mm-hmm. tell you which animal you are, tell you how to use it, what pages to go to, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. The third part of it is the follow-up. It's the deep dive. Mm-hmm. And that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. Not for me. That's where you can now go take it right. and then change your life with it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I didn't always do it like that. It was probably a year and a half where every time somebody took it, I would have a 30-minute conversation with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you get to 900 people to take assessments, it's like, okay, like, mm-hmm. I love y'all, but I ain't got time to sit on the phone all day.
Right.
And so now it's automated, and now it's this system where I'm literally seeing testimonials from people like, yo, you saved my marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, for real, my husband gonna take it before we get married. Mm-hmm. E.T., he's having people before he does marriage counseling with them go take it, have a consultation with me, and then pass them off to him. Mm-hmm. The NFL, the NBA are clients. I was with Golden State Warriors about 3-4 weeks ago. Again, like, it's just amazing how it has taken off. Mm-hmm. And I'd be lying if I say I saw that, because I didn't see that. I always thought it was gonna be something else. Mm-hmm. But God keeps growing. Mm-hmm. He just keeps growing it. Like, I called a day from a guy in Minnesota, like, yo, I need to go through certification. Like, what is it going? You know, so mm-hmm. it's just like, all right, I just learned to stop fighting it.
Right.
It was just like, okay, again, wake up, show me where you want me to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Who I need to talk to today. Mm-hmm.
And I think what's so special about it too is, especially because we're in a society where it's like a group think.
Yeah.
God forbid you disagree with somebody, like, you're canceled, right? Like, no matter what.
Right.
If you don't think the same way as the majority, it's over. But being in that type of society, having this type of assessment that really allows you to get to know yourself, because a lot of people don't know themselves. We spend all this time online. We are just conforming to what we think is the right thing. We're just doing what we think we should be doing. Even in entrepreneurship, we're becoming an entrepreneur because it looks cool. God ain't really called us to do that, so we need to go back to work. but because of that, we don't know ourselves. So what I really loved about this was I already knew myself. I'm just really big on just personal development in general.
Yeah.
But it allowed me to get to know myself even more. But the key component that I loved about it was the communication part. So now I can articulate myself better to you.
Age 19.
Yep. And I can teach you how to communicate with me. That's what I was telling my fiance, like, you need to take this because I already took it. You need to take this before we get married. So we know, like, if I'm not understanding you, I'm like, let me go back to page 19 and be like, how can I communicate?
Direct. Like,
yeah.
Just tell me. My feelings ain't involved. Just yep. what is it? What mm-hmm. do you expect? When do you need it? And mm-hmm. I'm good. Right?
And in me as a gorilla, I'm very direct.
Yeah.
And that can hurt, especially as a woman. You can really mess up a man's ego like that. And he's more of a flamingo and he's nice and all. And I don't really be having time for that. So I'm like...
I love it.
When
love
it comes
it.
Down to like talking, I'm like, all right, let me go to page 19 because I need to figure out how can I tell you you're getting on my nerves without saying you're getting on my nerves.
Yeah, yeah.
And for him, how can I just get to the point so she doesn't stop listening to me in the yeah. first 10 seconds?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just such a powerful tool. And I just personally love that communication piece.
Good.
So tell people though, like the different animals.
Yep. So remember I said DISC, right? D for dominant or decisive or direct. You can use any of those words, right? So I associate a gorilla with the D because you mm-hmm. think about that animal, gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
They're big and they're bossy and they're protective and they're dominant.
Mm-hmm.
I always joke and say the gorilla and the lion, they're fighting for who's the king of the jungle. Because
mm-hmm.
both of them got this swag like, nope, this my property,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the gorilla. The flamingo, that's the eye, engaging, interactive, social, empowering, right? Those are the people who are always, or let me say animals. Those are the animals who are, you know, they're encouraging and they're like, come on, sis, let's try it again.
Yeah.
But the key word is let's and mm-hmm. we and mm-hmm. us. They're social, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to have people.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be around people. The S, stable, steady, consistent. That's the chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people think of chameleon as they're changing. Yes, they change. However, they adapt to their environment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're super supportive. They always want to be behind the scenes. You think of a chameleon, they always hide behind a rock
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like sudden change, but they are the most loyal animals you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
I call them sufferers in silence because they'll come in at 6, they'll complain all day about it, they'll stay until 7, and then they'll come do it again tomorrow,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're loyal to a fault.
Yeah, yeah.
They are not out front people, though. And that's where people get frustrated with that chameleon because they're not out. They don't want the spotlight. They just mm-hmm. want to support behind the scenes. And then lastly, the C, conscientious, perfectionist, careful, cautious. That's the turtle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they do move slow. But they are very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find another animal as accurate as a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they're numbers people, like scientists or engineers or something
yeah.
like that, right?
Yeah.
So, but those are the people who you don't want to argue with because they're always right. I promise you they're right. The gorilla thinks they're right.
Mm-hmm.
The turtle really is accurate because that's their number one value is accuracy.
Right.
And that's why they're so slow because they take their time to get it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I developed those four animals and it's been amazing to watch it grow, but not only to watch it grow as a brand, but to watch people emulate. Like
yeah.
I can look within 30 seconds and tell what somebody is just
mm-hmm.
by what they say, sometimes how they're dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Flamingos are always wearing something bright. It never fails. I don't care where I go. If they got on all gray, they got a pop of some kind of color, right? Because they like that attention. Like the flamingo, you're going to look at it. I don't care where you
mm-hmm.
are. If you see a live flamingo, two things are going to happen. Number one, you'll never see one by itself because they're social.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they're bright. You're going to look at it, right? And they command that attention. That's just how they
right.
are. So, but yeah, to see people emulate it, I think the big thing is when people try to deny it, right? So they'll take the assessment. I don't think that's right. And I'm like, okay, take it again. I ain't tripping here. Here's another link. Take it again. And it comes out exactly the same. And because what I find is, and one of the reasons I love it is you can't beat this assessment.
Yeah,
you can try to answer it all kind of
uh-huh.
ways you want to,
uh-huh.
and it's still you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I really love it, because I've taken others, a Myers-Briggs or the color or umbrella parachute. I've taken all these things, and I know how to answer most of them to get what I want on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that is built on logic. It's not necessarily your answers, it's your preferences,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I realized is you can't beat your preferences. I don't care how hard you try. You'll go over here, but you'll eventually come back to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. So, yeah, it's been amazing to watch it.
Another thing that I loved is how you differentiate who you naturally are and then who you adapt to. And I think that's really powerful
yeah.
for people, even like in the business as you build a team. Like,
yeah.
so if an emergency happens, such and such need to be here because of that, because the boss is going to revert to doing this True. Because they're under pressure.
True.
But what was funny for me is when I took it, I was equally as a gorilla in both. So I was like, well, at least I'm consistent.
Hey, at least you're consistent, right? So your natural was gorilla and you're adaptive, yeah. right? So, yeah. So the good thing is with Tatum, it's real easy how to deal with you.
Yeah, I'm the same.
No fluff.
No.
Direct.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to laugh a whole lot about it. It's just like, okay, tell me what you need. Give me. All right, mm-hmm. then I'm good, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think if more people knew that, especially mm-hmm. about their mates.
Yeah.
Like, you know how much clutter you can cut out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so far. And again, I'm not immune to it. So when I was married, I never had my wife take it.
Mm.
Probably should have.
Yeah.
I can kind of tell who she is, though.
Yeah.
But with what it's doing with couples, I think I'm really excited
mm-hmm.
because now, even before rings are exchanged, like, I know you now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where it took 10 years to figure out who my wife really is,
mm-hmm.
in a matter of a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
I can help you know your mate. It ain't gonna happen in one conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the more I can show you how to spot these things before they happen,
mm-hmm.
or, okay, this is what he said, but this is what he meant,
mm-hmm.
or she pissed off, so go to page 19 before you say anything else. Like, yeah. the more I can help people go back to it, it's mm-hmm. a living document. Like, mm-hmm. it's not meant for you to take it in Atlanta and then rah, rah, and then forget about mm-hmm. it. It's when y'all ain't speaking, mm-hmm. I want you to pull your assessment out. And I want you to go to page 13 that says areas for you to improve. Forget about him.
Yeah.
Go look yeah. at what it says in this tough moment, what you need to do
mm-hmm.
and watch it change.
Good. That is really
right?
good.
Yep.
That's why I had to put it down. I was like, I can't. Cause this is yeah. selling me too much right now and I got stuff yeah. to do.
So I'm just going to
put this in a folder on my computer so I can just go back to yeah. it later.
Yeah.
But it was, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was really, really good.
Good.
And even when it came to, as I was thinking for the future, for business, like, do I want to build like a team? How big of a team? And what yeah. I realized was like, I don't really think I want like a really big team. Just give me like a solid one or two people that can take care of the things I don't want to do.
That's gorilla talk.
But I don't
that's,
really
that's
think.
Gorilla talk. I love it.
It's like, this is a lot. Like, if I got to manage all these animals, like,
right?
Like, I don't have the patience for that. Some people going to have to just be hands off or what?
So, here's the thing. Listen to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't have the patience for that. I don't want a lot of people. This is gorilla. Listen to it. Gorilla's the solo animal, right?
Yeah.
But once you realize that about you, it's not wrong with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just realize that you operate lean.
Mm-hmm.
Know what you want. You know you can do it how you want to do it. I probably mm-hmm. just need an assistant to take care of all the details that I don't really
right.
want to take care of.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So what's funny about what you said, that's literally my team. It's me. I got an assistant
who that's
does
it.
This. I got another one who does that. And that's mm-hmm. pretty much it.
Yeah, because the thought of like, I got to keep y'all motivated and stuff. And, who wants to do you know,
the flamingos.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was so glad that I took it because I'm like, yes, now yeah. I know. Because if when you listen to people talk about business and stuff, they always talk about the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the biggest reasons I wanted to go to the conference to learn about that.
Yeah,
but then after taking the assessment, I'm like, that's not for me. Like
gotcha.
Having the whole staff of 20 people or whatever, that's not for me. But
yeah.
now I know that and I'm okay with that. Because like I said, you kind of freed me with the
Good.
You are who you are.
Good.
So I'm like, now that I'm okay with
yeah.
that, cool. Let's get to work then.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. What are the things you good at that you can do and
mm-hmm.
all the stuff you're not?
Mm-hmm.
Just outsource it.
Exactly.
Right? And it don't,
exactly.
like you say, it don't have to be in a capacity where I got 20 people. I need some social media and some engagement and I need people to get people together for an event. I need a flamingo. Like that's just,
mm-hmm.
so I'll contract
mm-hmm.
a flamingo out.
Yeah.
Or chameleon or turtle, whatever it needs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's beautiful you said that because now you think like that.
Right.
And that's
right.
always what I wanted people to do, like a half step before you make that decision that's well thought out, that works for you.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. So I have some business questions before
yes.
we leave.
Absolutely.
So you talked about in the beginning just pricing.
Yeah.
And then what I kind of got is you talked about like your upbringing is like the poverty mindset. And I
yeah.
think that's something that's very prevalent in
yeah.
like the Black community.
Absolutely.
Is the like I have a grandmother. She has no clue what I do, which is fine. But she knows that she wants a crab cake and wants to go to lunch. She could call me. That's, right. I feel like that's all you need to know.
There you go. That's it.
But she has that mindset of like, when I'm like, I'm going to start a business. I don't want to work a 9-to-5. Like, well, why would you do that? She's been a teacher for like 50 years and she's still a teacher in her old age.
That's crazy.
And so it's like, they don't really understand this, like, entrepreneurial spirit. And a lot of people really do have that poverty mindset, or you settle for, like, I watched a movie recently, Acrimony. And so we
had good. I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, it was dramatic.
Okay.
But I like terrible movies.
Was it pretty predictable?
No, it wasn't predictable.
Okay. Okay.
It was actually different than most Tyler Perry movies.
Okay.
But I'm like the one-star black movie on Netflix person. So I'm a horrible movie suggester.
I love it.
Because if it's terrible, I'm probably entertained, so
right.
I watch it.
Right.
But so in the movie, the guy, her husband, was aspiring entrepreneur. He came up with like this gadget, and for I think it was like 20 years this thing was not working.
Okay.
And she was taking care of all the bills. They had to mortgage out a house that was free and clear. Like everything she was doing for his business. So after they got divorced, he ended up hitting it big and got like a check for like
Should've stayed.
Lot. But the company first offered him like $70 million or something.
Wow.
And so he did not take it because he was like, I know how much this is going to make you. So I'm not going to take that. And so that's when he ended up giving him the check later for like way, way, way bigger than that.
Right. Wow.
And so it became a debate with like, I think it was me and my mom. We were talking like, well, would you have taken that? And I was like, No, I don't think I would. If I was as passionate as he was about it, then I wouldn't have.
Yep.
But from the outside looking in, it's easy to be like, oh, you should have taken that money.
Yeah.
And that's the same mindset a lot of entrepreneurs have, is that, oh, I should just take this money. Somebody's offering me a chance. I should just take this. Or we struggle with pricing ourselves to where we need to price ourselves because we don't have that confidence, or we're still struggling with that poverty mindset. So how did you kind of get over that and get to the point where you can price yourself where what you at a place that you deserve?
That is a really good question. And to be truthful, I still struggle with it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is. It's the work of changing your belief about yourself, which goes back to who you are, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I think I can give you just a couple of steps that I've taken. Number one, aligning myself with some of the top people in my field.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at, let's just take one circle, the ETA squad, right? They probably all make more than I make.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm in that circle.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can talk numbers with a Josh or a CJ, or I can now say, okay, am I too cheap? Is this too, like, talk to me about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the hugest part. Like, if you want to instantly turn your fees around, get around people who charge more than you.
Right.
And figure out your value in that and how to bring yours up. The other part is, it's just the hard work on yourself. You got to do the work to believe that what you've been given is valuable.
Yeah.
Value-based fees by Alan Weiss is one of the books that it's a consulting book.
Value-based fees.
Value-based fees. Okay. It takes you off that time for money exchange that most entrepreneurs do, that it's going to limit you. You can only go so far when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was just with a company up in Beltsville, and I won't say their name, but The president of the company literally told me 2 weeks ago, based on what you did with us, we're taking our revenue goal this year from $60 million to $75
million. Wow.
That's $15 million, right?
You charge a $2,000.
And you charge
people,
you know, and some people want, I'll do it for $15. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. So value-based fees helps you realize, okay, if I help, even if you don't hit 75 million. You believe you can hit 75 million based on what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I tell you it's 25,000, that shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just repeating that over and over with every client you work with. They don't have to see the value. You need to see the value, right? So even with speaking engagements, like, I state the price and I shut up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Another book, man. It's again, Million Dollar Consulting. I remember reading a passage in there where he talks about one of his first like 5-figure consulting deals was on the table. And like most of y'all listening, y'all going to say 20,000. But I'll do it for 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when a client knows you'll retreat, they're going to say, well, all we have is 12. Can you do it for that?
Right.
And you looking at your bank account like, It's $354.17 in there. $12,000 gonna look real good on top of that. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna take it.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said in acrimony, he knew they were gonna give him a few billion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna just sit tight. Right. And it really is. It's homework of always saying, OK, what is this going to be valued to them before I put a proposal together? Or, mm-hmm. you know, how are your people going to benefit from what I do before I put a proposal together? One of the big questions I always ask is, you know, what is this worth to you?
Right.
So, you know, you come do a podcast. How many listeners are going to hear this?
Mm-hmm.
And how many lives are going to be changed as a result of this conversation? And not that I'll ever charge you, but now, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of $9.97.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna push the envelope and say $5,000 and see what you say.
Right.
Because I know you gonna go make $15 on it.
Right.
Right. So mm-hmm. it's always that for me. And consulting does that. It makes you
mm-hmm.
perform on value. It makes you provide value. It makes you do a lot for free.
Mm-hmm.
But in that doing a lot, you're practicing, you're building up your reps, you're getting in front of people. So then when a Boeing calls you and said, hey, we need you for 2 hours, we only have 2,000, you can say, okay, this is my rate. I'll wait for your call.
Right.
You already know what it's going to do for you, you mm-hmm. know? So, yeah.
So how do you get to that point then where you're like, okay, it's time for me to step out the free now.
Yeah.
I've gotten enough reps in
yeah.
and my bank account's looking worse.
Right, right.
So when is it right. time for me to step into like charging that right number?
Yeah, yeah. Good. So the time is yesterday. Like uh-huh. for real, because you'll get into this loop of, okay, I'm going to inch it up. And I'm going to inch it up. And when it's somebody, I'm going to see if they take this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just of the mind of just going. So you know what that is? That's steeped in fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. That let's just be honest.
Yeah.
That's what that's steeped in. So I'm of the mind. I just told one of my proteges yesterday, okay, why don't we just go and get the 5 rejections? Why don't we just call 20 people and just go ahead and say 5,000
mm-hmm.
and get the first 5 no's?
Right.
Can we just move past that?
Right.
Literally, I told you when I got the email that said we got 14 people, can you do it for 20? I should have told them no, honestly.
Right.
Because that's to a $2,000, $2,500 person training. I should have said, nope, my fee is $28.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the time, my fee was $14.95 a person times 14. Okay, yeah, I'll take 20.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it worked for that season. Mm-hmm. Now I know better. I do better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned in this consulting game is nobody likes to cheat, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how it works. But the minute I went up on my boot camp fees, people started signing up online. Like,
right.
Not mm-hmm. even call. Hey, can you do it for this? It was, all right, boom. No mm-hmm. conversation. It's like, oh,
yeah,
easy.
Because they see more value in things that are more expensive.
So the time is now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the good point is it's all rooted in that self-awareness.
Man.
And getting to know yourself. I was telling, we're doing like a Blessed and Bossed Up boot camp right now.
Love it.
And I was telling the ladies in the live, like, broken people build broken businesses. So a lot of us are in this
I'm recycling
position.
That. That's good.
Just give me my
that's
credit. Good. That's
you
all
your
I
credit.
Ask.
That's good. That's good.
And so I was like, the reason why so many of us are reaching these ceilings is because we haven't worked on ourselves. And I remember when I first left my job, I had got confirmation from God that it was time for me to leave my job. And so I was like, okay. And so I left my job. But in those moments of being with myself all day, I was like, God,
seriously,
what's going on? And so what I got in those moments was like, you have to build a relationship with me before you can get to where it is
yeah.
you're trying to go, or you're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
even now, just the way like I've gotten prophecies about what my year is going to look like for me. But then just praying like, well, God, how is this going to happen? But God is like, I have to prepare you first. Like, there's blind spots that you have that you have to see. There's this book by Pastor Tory Roberts called Wholeness.
Yeah.
So I was reading that book and I'm like, I didn't even realize
yeah.
that it was so many blind spots or things that I thought I got over that I haven't gotten over, or things that are just affecting me day to day. I may be doing well, but I'm not perfected. Like God is perfecting all things concerning me. So it was like,
that potter's wheel, man.
I got to really let him mold me. And I thought I was doing good. But in order for me to do what he said, I have to get molded. But yeah, broken people build broken businesses. And that's just what it is. And that's why I love what you're doing. Just really allowing people to look themselves in the mirror. And that's one of the hardest things to do.
It is. You know, Tatum, I always, so you said, first of all, you said a bunch of stuff. I think, you know, what I went through, first of all, I already know it ain't for me.
Right, exactly.
And I think the bigger mission is really to help fathers, whether they've had sons in the military or not. Like, the bigger thing is a lot of fathers are grieving and don't know how to grieve. Like, they'll never say it hurts, or they'll never admit or go to counseling. That's a taboo in the Black community.
Yeah.
And I didn't even talk about that, but that was like the turning point. Like, so I was driving to get something to eat about August, right after it all happened, and had my headphones in and answered my phone without looking. You know, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
But I did. I was I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the grief counselor.
Wow.
Right. Again, God, again, boom, planting people at the right time. And that jump started me going to grief counselor. And I really had to figure out, like, OK, you've tried it your way for all these years and you've only hit a certain level of success, which ain't near what I got for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you ready. I mean, I already got the plan when you're ready. Just when you're ready, though, right?
Right. When you're tired of wasting time.
I'm such a gentleman. As long as you know. But it's one of those things where you just get to that point where you're like, man, okay, your way, show me.
Yeah.
And that really is always it. Like, just your way. Like, show me, show me, order the steps, figure it out. Boom, 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 and walk down the path, and boom. It just happens. So, so yeah.
Awesome. So I have one more business question that I want to ask, and then we can wrap it up. What advice would you give someone who is newly starting a business or just pursuing any dream of any kind?
I probably wouldn't have said this 2 years ago, but I could honestly say, like, work on your brand, who you are, who you serve, what do you do better than anybody else in the marketplace? Who needs to hear your message or receive your service or your product? Who can benefit most from it? What are other people making out here? What can you charge? How can you create space? Like, so people think that's the fluff work. That's really the work that you need to do before you launch anything.
Yeah.
And once you can get clarity there, like, I promise you, like, the floodgates just open up. It's crazy how, if I would have thought about this, what if I would have collected email addresses? I heard this on the podcast the other day. What if in 2012, from the first time I did that assessment, I would have collected all those emails? Like, it just makes me sick to my stomach when I think about it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the... Oh, man, and I don't care how much it costs you to figure this stuff out. If you got to take time to do it on your own or hire some, whatever the case is, like, that's the key advice. So while you still got a job, like, do that work first.
Right.
So then it's super clear when you do launch your product, service, whatever it is, you know, who you talking to, you know, what you can give them, you know, how much it's going to cost. And you just wait for them to come to you at that point. That's it, really. Like, believe in yourself. Like, we all got something so unique that if we just believe that we can deliver it at the highest level, you'll be amazed at who knocks at your door. And then I think, you know, mental health is so important.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs, man, I don't know if I would change anything about what I did. Let me just be honest with you. But looking back and doing better, oh, man, mental health. If you're an entrepreneur, like, you got to. I ain't saying you need a counselor. I'm saying you need that person to talk stuff through.
You might need a counselor, right? Yeah.
I remember going through that process, man, finding this place in North Carolina. I think it's Fayetteville, called a Smash Shack.
Sound like a rib joint.
Right. But what it is. It's this retired military dude who bought this old rundown house and he turned it into an event space, quote unquote. So he cleared out all the furniture, all the rooms, padded some rooms where you can just go in there and get your aggression out by throwing plates and glasses and whatever you just want to throw, right? I found them right after my son. We did a podcast with him. Mm-hmm. But do you know what that does for people with PTSD or dads who's lost sons who ain't gonna never talk to their wife about how they feel, but they can go in there for an hour and come out whole again? Like, it's that kind of stuff. And these entrepreneurs, man, we got these visions of grandeur that we'll never reach unless we do the mental work. Never. So those are you know, tips.
And I'm glad that you brought up the building a brand before you launch as well. Because I always say, I just say launching is overrated. But I say that because a lot of people look at launching as like, I'm about to just post a 10987 on my Instagram. And then when it comes to everybody going to click on my website and buy my stuff. Yeah. And that's not what happens.
If one buy, you lucky, right, with that.
And even with my own journey, when I first started this podcast, I started it last year. And it was called the Black Girl Boss Podcast. And it was a way for me and my co-host at the time to just talk about our journey of entrepreneurship in the trenches of it. Like, we ain't got nothing yet, y'all, but we gonna talk about how today is.
Right.
But my objective was, no matter what I did, I knew that I had to have an audience. So it was like, let me just build up this tribe now of my target audience of millennial Black women who are entrepreneurial.
Right.
And let me do that now. And it's crazy, like, after a year, like, and then when I started building my relationship with God, and God saying, like, okay, you gonna do the show by yourself, you're going to change it to Blessed and Bossed Up. You want to talk about me in the show, because entrepreneurs are missing the whole God factor. So you're going to start talking about me on the show. And just doing that, my audience has evolved with me.
Love
you know, the audience has doubled and all of these things as a result of just building up that tribe, being transparent, being honest. So if I put out a prayer journal, I can sell hundreds of copies without doing anything but talking for an hour a week. Because I found my platform and I found a way to communicate with my and build my tribe prior to asking them for their money. You know, and there's a lot of people that's just asking people for their money, but don't want to build a relationship with them. Absolutely. Like your cousin who just call you and want $20 all the time. But they don't even call you and say happy birthday. Just building that tribe, but also finding the right vehicle to talk to them.
Your audience,
so
yeah.
A lot of people are trying to market on Instagram. But I mean, Facebook is an ad agency now. That's what it is. It ain't on Instagram. So all we do is see ads.
What if your tribe ain't on Instagram?
Right, exactly. So finding that vehicle that meets them. So for you, word of mouth is huge. Because all the program directors or whoever hire you, they know each other.
Exactly.
But for somebody like me, being able to talk on a podcast where now I'm inserting myself while they're on their way to work.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody else talking to them while they're at their job. Ain't nobody else talking to them then while they're cleaning their house. They not scrolling through the gram then.
I love it.
So finding that vehicle too. But yeah, I just wanted to piggyback off of that. Just that developing that brand early before asking people for their money.
It's
like huge.
I didn't know, you know, so I worked one-on-one with CJ, who is Eric Thomas's right hand guy, for about a year. And I had made all kinds of mistakes before working with him. Now, granted, so I was at six figures before I met him. So I thought I knew. And I had run my business 3-4 years before I met him. So again, I've got contracts. I've done six figures outside of after government. I was traveling already before that. I was facilitating to groups. We talking 90, 100 people at a time sometimes already. Big brands. I had worked with Prada, Starbucks, Gucci before that. So I thought
he was like, I'm the man.
And I think now, like, what if I had built the brand in 2008 or 9 or 10 before I left the six? It just, you know what I'm saying? So it is. I know entrepreneurs are ready to go out and do it. But if you take the time and do that first and get that tribe, like you said, first. So with your hundreds of followers, you can go say, hey, I'm going to do a live session with Chris at his office. Off rip, you're going to get 20, 30 people that just pay and show up just because you've built that. And another couple hundred if we record it, right? So that's the thing. That's why it's so important. We don't always see that up front, but it's huge. It's huge. So congratulations. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's big.
So, yeah, do you have any other tips, nuggets, or anything before we hop off?
You know, health and family first, you know, your relationship, again, this is all mental, spiritual stuff, but your relationship with God, is paramount. Like, you got to consult him first.
Yeah.
I'm talking about before checking anything, literally open your eyes. I don't care if it's 3 minutes, like give him a conversation, like give him some time. That mental health, again, that's just, it's so huge. I don't care if it's, you got to go sit in a sauna for an hour somewhere every week. You got to process that stuff out. And then, you know, just surround yourself with, I'm going to say like-minded people, but I'm going to say people who challenge you to do better. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing I knew, like at a certain point I knew, I ain't going to say change my circle, because I think everybody fits in your life in different areas.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to advance or go to another level, you got to find the people that plan at that level and stay uncomfortable with them.
Right.
And when you reach that level of comfort, then you need another circle who's going to keep you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the tips, man. Like, it's really not rocket science. I think we spend way too much time overcomplicating it and trying to find a secret strategy within the strategy, when the strategy really is talk to God, put yourself around the people. Now, I haven't said this. It's centered around this, but I'm going to say it flat out. Let me tell you something. In 2017, I probably spent the last half of the year in the Old Testament.
Wow.
6-7 months straight.
Mm-hmm.
Every single story, every single chapter, every single book showed me what was happening in my life.
Wow.
Every single one of them. Again, at the conference, you've heard me talk about my last name is Daniel. So I read the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I'm supposed to be a consultant. My last name, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I read the book on a prayer call one day. A guy said, "What up, Job?" And I ain't say nothing. Like, "What up, Job?" I was like, "Who are you talking to?" Like, "Chris." Like, "Yeah." He's like, "What up, Job?" I'm like, "What? My name's Chris." He's like, "Nah, go read the book of Job." Dude loses his sons. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm telling you, like, every single book in that, oh, it told me this is where you are. This is why you are where you are. This is what you need to do to get out of it. So, still the greatest book ever written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, I don't read it every day.
Right.
However, I know when I'm feeling that angst, like, okay, go read it, because you ain't been reading it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is that strategy guide for me to say, okay, if I'm stuck somewhere, if I don't know what move to make, again, God's such a gentleman. He's going to like, all right, you're going to come back to me. So it's up to you when you want to read it. But but yeah, that truly, man, it truly has been the game changer for me.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Yeah. I know I just slid in your DMs
I love it. I love it. You look, I'm a gorilla too, so you know that's how you're going to get me right there. Like, look, I need your time. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. But thank you so much. Yeah. I know we went over time, but I just really appreciate you being on the show. I know that this is really going to help a lot of people who are going through things.
Praise God.
I'm just excited. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. We will be back with another episode next week.
Robinhood is an investing platform that helps serious investors with their financial goals by giving them the tools to run their money on their terms, so you can make power moves in your power suit, even if that power suit might be fuzzy slippers or an oversized sweatshirt. But hey, that's what makes you, you. Run your money with Robinhood. Learn more on Robinhood.com/